He grew up in a tough family environment and bounced around foster homes, but eventually turned his life around with the help of the couple he now considers his parents. He became an attorney and gave back to the community, and was even named one of the top 50 bachelors in America by People magazine. Women keep saying he's assaulted them, but he says he's just a target for opportunistic young bad girls. This is the story of Gary Zarola, the party boy defense lawyer who keeps ending up in court. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. Hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. As you may know, YouTube demonetizes your videos if you say certain words, which is why Patreon can be so important. I knew going into this one that I wasn't going to be able to talk about it in explicit terms, so you'll have to forgive me if I use euphemisms or bleep things out. I know it seems kind of childish, like you guys have never heard those words before, but it's worth it to me to be able to talk about the case of this really gross guy. Gary Zarola was a former prosecutor in Boston who eventually went into private practice as a criminal defense lawyer. He was in and out of foster homes as a child because his biological mom and dad couldn't care for seven kids, but he found a permanent home with the people he now calls his parents at around the age of 15. Evidently inspired by the career of his new dad, Zarola went to Suffolk University and then Suffolk Law School and was even invited to give the commencement speech there. He went on to be an assistant DA in Essex and Suffolk counties, and was known for his compliments to the female employees of the court. Back then, in 2001, Zarola was named one of People magazine's top 50 bachelors in America, just like Ben Affleck. He said in his People magazine spread that he was the kind of guy who would take a date for a side-by-side pedicure. Such a Renaissance man, so secure in his masculinity, and so very fashionable. He tried out for the Bachelor TV dating show, too, and apparently was a real contender, but alas, he wasn't chosen. But someone did once bid $800 at a charity auction to go on a date with him. He lived in Salem, Massachusetts, and said that some of the totally false allegations against him were actually what made him so successful as a lawyer. Since 1996, women had been accusing him of misconduct against them, but he'd always somehow gotten himself out of trouble. And he said clients appreciated that he had this sort of experience with being falsely accused. You know, because every criminal thinks they're innocent.
And what does it mean to you to have to defend her in this trial?
Well, having been in the same position, sitting as a criminal defendant accused of a crime she did not commit, I can certainly empathize and sympathize with what she's going through.
So you have a different perspective, you think?
Oh, I have a very unique perspective than most attorneys, one which I hope that most attorneys never have to go through, but I certainly have a very unique perspective.
But in early 2021, Zarola's bad behavior caught up with him. On January 11th, the 49-year-old met up with a woman and her 21-year-old friend. They all went back to the friend's place at the end of the night when she started feeling the effects of drinking too much. Hours later, at 2 a.m., Zarola allegedly went back and broke into her apartment. She was basically incapacitated from the alcohol she'd consumed, but she awoke to find him assaulting her. On January 15th, 2021, Gary Zarola was charged with rape and breaking and entering with felony intent. He pleaded not guilty and was ordered to be held without bail. In February 2021, a grand jury indicted him on the assault charge and aggravated burglary. But his attorney said an indictment doesn't make false allegations true. But the thing is, Zarola was already facing the same sort of charges from a November 2016 assault where he had paid $10,000 bond for his release. So basically, he was allowed to offend again because he was out on bail. In this case, he was accused of going after the friend of a woman he was hooking up with. This friend was out drinking with Zarola in a group in 2016 when she was 23 years old. She fell asleep at his friend's apartment with her friend and Zarola nearby, and when she woke up, Zarola was attacking her. And oh yeah, he had actually been accused of the same thing in 2008. Two different 19-year-old women said he had attacked them years before, in 2004 and 2006, when he was in his 30s. Are you able to keep all of these straight? One of the women said he assaulted her repeatedly in his own apartment. The other said she just needed to use the bathroom back at his apartment after a first date where he bought her designer clothes and let her drive his Porsche. When she turned him down for anything more, he allegedly ripped off her clothes and slammed her head against a wall. She covertly dialed 911 when he pinned her to the couch and wouldn't let her leave, and police tracked her using her phone's GPS. Prosecutors say he would try to charm women in bars and then attack them when they wouldn't sleep with him. His lawyers said, "Here you have women pretending to be 21 years old, drinking. These are not vulnerable children. As far as he knew, these women were 21. Zarola said he was just a party boy who drank too much, and opportunistic young women were always trying to take advantage of that. He called himself a target and said he was thankful to the juries in his cases for listening to the real facts. He was acquitted of the charges at both trials, even though one of the women had called 911. Around this time, he was also accused of the assault of an 18-year-old in Florida. He supposedly force-fed her drugs in his hotel room to be able to take advantage of her. He was down in Miami while he awaited trial for the two earlier assaults, violating the conditions of his bail to see the Dolphins play the Patriots. This woman said she was a virgin and awoke to find herself naked and bleeding beside Zarola. He said they never even had sex, and the charges were later dropped due to lack of evidence. But it seems like Zarola had a certain type and a certain way of controlling women, allegedly. With these new 2021 charges looking so similar to the 2016 case, Zarola assaulting much younger women after they got drunk, prosecutors actually asked the court to combine the two trials. But the judge said no due to the different locations, time frames, evidence, etc. Oh yeah, and that it wouldn't give Zarola the right to a fair trial, which is like so funny not funny to me. What the judge is saying is that he's done the same crime too many times to not seem guilty of doing the crime again now. So the now 51-year-old Zarola finally went to trial for the 2016 case in June 2023 on two counts of assault. By order of the court, the alleged victim wasn't named. The prosecution said in pretrial that Zarola is a serial predator who gets young women drunk so he can have control over them, but the judge wouldn't allow them to say that in front of the jury. So they just told the jury that Zarola had access and opportunity to take advantage of this particular young woman while she was passed out. He was 45 years old at the time, and she was only 23. The defense said she was a liar whose story had changed over time when it came to who initiated contact at the bar that night and who kissed who first. Like, she told police that he asked her and her friend out for a drink, but it turns out she reached out to him over Snapchat. Then she told police that he kissed her and she pushed him away, but video evidence showed her pulling his face toward hers. Zarola's lawyer showed the jury a video from the Four Winds bar of the two of them hugging and kissing. They got the alleged victim to admit that they had a sexual relationship, even though he was seeing her friend. In fact, the lawyer said, he once took this woman out for a ride on his motorcycle. It sounds to me like his lawyer was trying to argue that because they had a prior relationship, it was fine for him to ignore her when she allegedly told him to get the off of her later in the middle of the night. The alleged victim says she doesn't even remember kissing Zarola at the bar because she was so drunk, and anyway, that's not relevant to the fact that she didn't consent later. The alleged victim's friend got on the stand and said she was friends with benefits with Zarola when that drunken night occurred in November 2016. She said her friend woke her up the next morning, told her they had to go, and said Zarola tried to hook up with her. But she was hungover, out of it, and didn't press the alleged victim for details. She admitted that they had apparently been sleeping right next to each other, and she didn't hear anything abnormal happen. But of course, she was very drunk.
When you were in that couch, you didn't hear anything out of the ordinary, correct?
No.
You didn't see anything out of the ordinary, correct?
No.
Was sleeping right next to you, right?
Yes.
You didn't hear any distress at all, well, at any time while you were on that couch, right?
No.
You never heard say, what the are you doing in a tone like that, did you?
No.
You never heard her say, Gary, get the off of me, did you?
No.
You said today on direct examination When you woke up, Mr. Zarolo was not on the couch, right?
Yes.
I see you nodding your head. You already forget what you said on direct examination an hour ago?
I don't remember what I said.
No disrespect, but do you have any cognitive difficulties?
No, I don't.
You don't remember saying on direct examination this morning, approximately 10:30, that you woke up, woke you up and Mr. Zarolo was not on the couch?
This is a very stressful situation.
That's not what I asked. I don't want you to augment. Just answer the question I'm asking. You said on direct examination that you woke you up and Gary Zarolo was not on the couch, right?
Okay, yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
But in fact, you remember, you testified to the grand jury that you remember passing out on the couch, right?
Yes.
Hold on a second, counsel. Ma'am, when you answer questions, just give your best memory. If you don't remember something, you can say that. If you do remember it, you can say it. No pressure.
So when Gary was not on the couch, but you did have a specific memory that Gary had been on the couch, right?
I don't remember.
The two women ended up getting a ride that morning with Zarolo to the train station where the alleged victim's car was parked. She said she didn't know what else to do. She was in such shock, and he was a lawyer with connections. Who would she even tell? Later, the friend asked Zarolo about trying to hook up with the alleged victim, and he allegedly said, "You don't care," which I'm not totally sure is a denial. The thing that didn't look great for the women is that both of them kind of denied their relationships with Zarolo. The friend avoided the police for 10 days after they started calling her, she says because she was embarrassed and scared. The alleged victim didn't really admit to her interest in Zarolo until the defense had to give evidence to the prosecution before trial, which included photos of them together. And one of Zarolo's friends said he saw the woman laughing in Zarolo's car the morning after the alleged assault, like nothing was wrong. It only took the jury fewer than 3 hours of deliberations before Zarolo was found not guilty for the third time in a case like this. So that was the 2016 case. Now back to the eerily similar 2021 case, which went to trial in 2024. At trial, the prosecution said that in January 2021, Zarolo had paid for a woman he was dating and her 21-year-old friend to go out drinking with him. Zarolo spent more than $2,000, so you can imagine the amount being consumed. The friend eventually fell ill and needed help back to her apartment in Beacon Hill, so Zarolo drove both women there. He and the woman he was dating left and went their separate ways, but then he broke back in at 2 a.m. to assault the friend as she slept. She went to the hospital later that morning and then called the Boston Assault Unit. The prosecution said Zarolo used his past experience as a lawyer to know that arguing consent was the only chance he had in court. I guess that if they had an existing relationship of some sort, it wouldn't be unusual to find his DNA on a swab if the Boston Assault Unit did a kit on her. And that's really about as much as I could find about this trial. Everyone reported on the results, but I couldn't find anyone covering the actual day-to-day trial. It's disappointing, but my guess is that no one expected anything different at court this time. The prosecution would say Gary did a bad thing, the defense would say the victim was a liar, and the jury would have to decide who was more believable. But this time, after 5 hours of deliberations, the jury found Gary Zarolo guilty of the assault. He was found not guilty of the greater charges against him, aggravated and burglary. I'm, of course, not a lawyer, but my understanding of burglary in Massachusetts is that it involves breaking and entering into a dwelling at night with the intent to commit a felony. And assaulting a woman in this way would be a felony. My understanding of this kind of assault is that it's considered aggravated in Massachusetts if it's committed during a burglary or after entering a dwelling at night. So it seems like the two are so intertwined that the jury probably wouldn't find Zarolo guilty of one but not the other. But I'm surprised the jury didn't find him guilty of both. If he came to the victim's apartment to assault her, he would have had the intent to commit a felony, and it would have been aggravated because he had to break in to do it. So it sounds to me like the jury believed he assaulted the victim, but they weren't positive that he came back later and broke into the apartment to do it. At sentencing, prosecutors asked for 9 to 13 years in prison, while the defense suggested 2 to 3 years. The victim didn't show up to court for the sentencing, saying the trial had put her back in the mind of the traumatizing events too much. In a victim impact statement read by the assistant DA, the victim said she didn't want to give Zarola any power, that she didn't want this nightmare to affect her forever. But she said that to this day, she has nightmares of someone breaking in to assault her. She doesn't feel safe in her own home. And she's embarrassed that she let herself associate with a guy whose awful past could so easily be Googled. She said Zarola's actions had a significant and insidious effect on her and asked that the consequences for him reflect that. The maximum sentence was 20 years. Zarola's attorney said that as the youngest of seven, he was unloved and grew up in a house of horrors full of physical and emotional abuse. Apparently, the Zarola children had to watch their father hit their mother with his fists as he held her down, and he once shot a stray dog the kids brought home in front of them. It also sounded to me like his lawyer was saying that Zarola's mom eventually took her own life in front of the children as his father watched and laughed. Not to try to make you feel sympathy for the guy, but here's a few minutes of his lawyer describing Zarola's childhood.
Mr. Zarola is the youngest of seven children. I would say that he certainly is a brother. I would say that he was a son, but he never really was a son in childhood. He was nothing more than someone unplanned that was probably brought into this world, was disposable, was uncared for, was unloved, and was at oftentimes, like the stories submitted from at least one of his siblings, and for the other siblings, they all support him, but it was too painful for them to even submit something in writing. My client was born to Frank and Lucille Zarola. Frank Zarola ran an insurance business out of the family home. Frank Zarola used his family, all of his family, as essentially nothing more than a punching bag. There was a story recalled from my client's brother. I don't want to put his name on the record, but you have the letter.
I've read them all.
Where he was seen mounting my client's mother and with clenched fists repeatedly struck her over and over and over again. Life was so bad for Lucille Zarola that in front of the children, she took out a gun at one point and shot herself. Frank Zarola's response to that was to laugh. Those kids who really had nothing in their life and lived a life of fear, with the exception of one of the brothers, life for him as a 10 or 12-year-old was exciting that he would be able to go down to a convenience store and buy cigarettes and alcohol for the alcoholic mother who was home in bed because he got to keep some change, sneak some change on the side. The siblings kind of united together, and at one point, they thought it was a good idea, and they were surprised to rescue a stray dog that they had found. They brought that stray dog home, and rather than accept it and for once, just once, give that family a pass, Frank Zarola brought that dog into the basement and in front of all of the Zarola children, shot and killed it. This is the background that Gary Zarola comes from.
Apparently, it was Zarola's early home life that prompted him to later do work for foster children. His lawyer said it's actually amazing that Zarola put a life together at all, let alone one where he raised money for kids and was recognized by a Boston mayor for his efforts. Zarola's brother wrote a letter to the court discussing their terrible childhood to back up the claims. And because Zarola has a rare form of eye cancer that may kill him, his lawyer said the 52-year-old should be given leniency. He said, "There's no way to say this, no is good, but the allegations to the extent proven in this case certainly don't distinguish them from another type of There's nothing unique about these facts. So, like, don't punish Zarola too hard." On July 15th, 2024, Zarola was sentenced to something right in the middle of what the two sides had requested. He was given 5 to 10 years in prison, which he'll serve at the MCI Norfolk facility because it can best treat his eye cancer. The judge, of course, couldn't consider any of Zarola's past alleged crimes in the sentencing. Zarola plans to appeal the conviction. It's always hard in cases like this to know exactly what the truth is when there isn't video and it's one person's word against another. I'm not saying false allegations never happen, but I'm pretty sure that after so many complaints, and especially so many complaints that sound exactly the same, Zarola is probably guilty and deserves some time in prison, probably more than he's getting. I think it's pretty gross that Zarola's defense attorney said that no rape is good rape, but implied that this one isn't so bad because at least old Gary didn't accost anyone in an alleyway or beat anyone during the assault. I'm at least a little happy for the victim that the jury believed her and validated her. Prosecutors said that two more victims have come forward about Zarola assaulting them in the 1990s, so who knows how many women out there have been preyed upon by this most eligible bachelor. I hope this conviction sticks, and he's finally off the market for a good 10 years. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.